All right. That's some sad statistics, but it's something that we want to be aware of, and I know we want to care and take time. So if you need to take time to write that down, please do. And let's bow our heads as we pray to prepare for the sermon. We also are going to be praying for the children in our community. Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for different workers, God, who are doing that work, God. We appreciate that, God. But we thank you for Christians in that field who can discern and have the Spirit. Now, God, we send out a prayer call in the name of Jesus over every child in our community, God. God, give us wisdom to see the signs, and God, give us wisdom to help, God. And we understand that every parent that is abusive is not a bad person. Sometimes they were abused, God, but help us to make a difference, God. If we can save 5 children, we're making a difference. If we can save 10, we're making a difference, and I thank you for it. Now, God, I'm asking that you would speak through my vocal cords, that you would think through my mind, God, that it would be all of you and less of me, that the people would be eternally blessed and touched, and no one's coming would be in vain, in Jesus' name, and let the people declare. Amen. With your Bibles in your hand, would you grab your Bibles and repeat after me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, Pastor Andre, preach this word. Amen. So we are in what I call the Jesus series. And this is the last sermon in the Jesus series. We're going to do a quick review. And they're all on the website. They're all on YouTube. So you can all go and listen and watch. But the first one was, who was Jesus? So we start off asking the question, who was Jesus? And the answer we came down to was, he was the Son of God. Somebody say that with me. He was the Son of God. And then last week on our resurrection service, we had this next question that we asked, and this was the topic and the title. It was, what did Jesus do? So we had, who was Jesus? And now we have, what did Jesus do? And that's what we talked about last week. And to review, we left you with these two things that he did. Number one, Jesus paid it all. And number two, Jesus conquered the grave. I'm going to keep it up there on conquered the grave for a second, because after we come out of the Easter celebration and resurrection, we're usually happy and we're usually excited about the fact that Jesus got up out of the ground. And when I preach, and a lot of times, especially if you preach in a Baptist church, what they teach us when you're preaching at a Baptist church is, before you close the service, somewhere take the people to the cross. And by the time you finish, you got to somewhere in there say, early one Sunday morning, he got up out of the ground. You got to go ahead and work that thing. And I love working that thing, because early one Sunday morning, he did get up out of the ground. And yes, he conquered the grave. Woo, that's some shouting stuff. But the problem is, the Bible didn't stop there. So now I've got one more question, and this is where we're going to park at. My next question is this: why did Jesus leave? If you got up out of the ground with all power in your hand, you snatched the keys of death and hell, why didn't everything end then? Why did you leave? If we're going to be honest, after you get out of the Easter and all that resurrection, it's kind of a Debbie Downer to know Jesus left. He came, but he left. And my question is, why did he leave? And the reason why I have this question is because Paul makes this statement that kind of frustrates me and kind of throws me for a loop. Paul makes this statement and says that Satan is the god of this world. So In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus gets up out of the ground. He then defeated Satan. By the time you get to Paul's writing, Paul says Satan is the god of this world. We just heard statistics about child abuse. You know who's doing that? The devil is doing that stuff. The devil is getting that stuff started. So my question is, if you have all this power, Jesus, why did you leave? Anybody else have that question? Why did you go? I know some of y'all too spiritual. Y'all just take what the preachers say. You dance, you shout, you go home, eat chicken, watermelon, lemonade, watch the game. But you don't know anything about the scriptures. And I'm trying to train you to think beyond just what you hear and ask questions. The reason why I've been training you this specifically in this Jesus series is because specifically millennials are not taking our answers for Jesus. Millennials are asking questions. And they're telling us, we're not coming to your church until you give me some sure answers. And they're tired of hearing he got out of the ground. What they want to know is, why is the world addicted? What they want to know is, why are people dying? Have you ever asked somebody this and say, do you want to be a Christian? And they say, no. Well, why not? Because I don't want to serve a God that'll let a baby die. You ever had that question? And sometimes we be like, well, just pray on it. People are tired of hearing, just pray on it. So I got to get you to think critically. The move of God is not just in shouting and dancing and sweating. It's also in critical thinking. I need a church that will think. I need a church that will ask questions, and I'm going to try to lead you in that so that when people have something to ask, we've got something to give. You won't know all the answers, but you'll give them just enough to say, okay, I think I can believe a little more. Now, before I go on, the best answer to anybody's question is your own personal testimony. One scripture talks about a man who was blind. And they was asking him about being blind. They was talking about Jesus. And guess what the man said? He said, listen, I don't know what you're talking about this Jesus. All I know is I once was blind, but now I see. The best answer is your personal testimony. I don't know all about why he got up and all this and that. All I know is one day he worked on me. I know he got out of the grave, but what I'm happy about is I'm not who I used to be. The best answer is the life that you live. And that's a good place to shout. But the problem is some of us Christians live such a raggedy life that we don't really know if we're a good testimony. I've been saved 30 years and I've been broke and sick and mean and ugly all 30 of them years. And somebody on the outside looking in and says, why would I want what you have if what you have didn't change you? Why do I want it? Why do I want to get up on a Sunday morning? If you're going to go to church and leave and still be mean as a backyard bulldog, why do I want to waste my time worshiping a God that will keep you mean all your life? The church is going to have to be the church and reflect the Savior. All right. So now we're going to start. Why did Jesus leave? Read John 19 and 30. Why did the mic not work? Maybe I should preach that. Oh, because she needed to get a blue mic for Blue Sunday. Okay, I understand. All right. Go ahead, John 19:30.
When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost.
Sister Mitchell, I'm going to have you read it again, not for any spiritual deep reason, but your voice sounds good. Just read it one more time.
When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost.
The first reason why Jesus left was this: he was finished. He was done. When you finished, you leave.
When I get done at General Motors, I clock out. Sometimes people want to talk to me. I'm waving, but I'm moving. I'm finished, and so I'm gone. There's nothing else here for. I'm not getting paid to talk to you. I'm clocking out because I'm finished. So the first reason why he left was he was done with what God called him to do. All right, but that leaves me with something else. And I'm going to put this graphic up, the God questions. I heard this said when I was growing up. Never question God. Ooh, it sounded deep. Never question God. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. If you don't question God, you're not going to know a lot of what you should know. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And in order to seek God, sometimes you got to ask God questions. Sometimes, why did my loved one die? Why did I get cancer? Why did I give in the offering and I still got my lights cut off? Why? And the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing, so get it. But in all thy getting, get an understanding. And a lot of times when you question God, when you ask God, you begin to learn, you begin to understand. And the reason why you should question God is so he can tell you. And when he tells you, you can tell somebody else. And a lot of what I'm preaching to you because I already talked to God about it. He didn't straighten me up about it. So now I'm telling you. And the reason why you don't have anything to tell somebody else because you ain't never talked to God about it. Pastor, I got some issues, so I'm going to watch Ayanna fix my life for a whole straight year. Before you go to Ayanna, how about you ask God first? All right. So thinking of this and putting this graphic up, I decided I would look because it's a good answer. He was finished. That's a great answer. And we can actually leave and go home. But what was he finished doing? I got some more questions. I'm kind of like my little four-year-old girl. Why? Well, sometimes I get ready to leave for work. I lay her down. I said, Daddy got to go to work. Why? Well, Daddy got to make some money. Why? So you can have these dolls. Why? Baby, I got to go. Goodness, she just, why? But she's inquisitive. And the Bible says, unless you approach this thing with the faith of a child. In other words, God, I know you have the answer. And so every day I'll ask. And every day I'll talk to you until I get the answer that I need from you that will help me move in the direction that I need to go. So I looked up this and I found this just on the internet. And it was a question. Someone asked a follow-up question. Okay, he was finished. But let me ask you this, God. If Jesus is going to come again someday and eliminate all the evil in the world, that's nothing that we preach about. He's coming back again. But if he's going to come and he's going to eliminate all the evil, then why didn't he do it the first time around? He was finished, but he left a bunch of undone stuff on the earth. Anybody else had that question? Anybody else thought that, okay, if you defeated the devil, why didn't you just lock him up then, wipe away all the evil before you went back? There's another reason why. And let me put it up here. That wasn't his purpose. That's not what he came to do. And if I can give you this, it's a bad example, but it's a good example. When I was younger, back in the day when you got into it with your friend, you didn't go put it on Facebook. You didn't go get a gun. You fought right then and there. By the end of the day, y'all friends and everything good. Every now and then, there would be an adult supervisor. And the adult supervisor would let you fight. In other words, you over there picking with each other. No, y'all ain't gonna do that. Y'all go over there and y'all get in that field and y'all fight it out. And whenever person's done, y'all hug and be over with. That's how sometimes we was raised. Look, get it up. And it worked because we, at the end of the day, it was over. You on the football field, you playing, somebody tackle you and do you and juke you. You get mad and push. They say, go ahead, fight it out. But every now and then, somebody would go beyond. In other words, I got knocked down and I'm mad. So I go and pick up a rock and I get ready to come up. But that adult supervisor says, stop, put that rock down. If you're going to fight, you got to fight fair. Here's the thing. When Adam had the world, Adam messed up, but he messed up because Satan came and deceived. In other words, the fight never was between Jesus and the devil. The fight was between man and the devil. But the devil got slick and tried to pick up a rock. So Jesus had to step in and say, no, no, no. You got to put that rock down. I know you can't do that. And sometimes back in the day, even before me, they'd be fighting and somebody pull out a razor blade. No, 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 you got to fight regular. So what Jesus really came to do was to level the playing field so that we could fight the devil ourselves. The reason why he left him here, because it wasn't his job to fight him. The devil has never been on God's level. The devil has always been closer to our level. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take the very same scriptures that we used last week to prove what his purpose. When we talk about what did Jesus do, I'm going to prove his purpose really quick. And I'm going to go to the scriptures, but we're not going to read the whole scripture. I just got part of the scripture highlighted. So to remind you that never in the scripture does it say it was God's job or Jesus' job to fix all the evil so we can live on easy street. Now, I know that's what we want, but that's not God's job. All right, let's read the scriptures. Let's go to the first scripture. Sister Mitchell, you can read them, but just read the clause that's highlighted in purple.
Destroy the works of the devil.
John 3:8b. So the reason why he came, his purpose was to destroy the works of the devil. What it doesn't say, his purpose was to destroy the devil. It was to destroy his works. In other words, he picking up stones and he ain't playing fair because the devil don't never fight fair. So it was Jesus' job to jack him up and say, if you're going to fight the people, you got to fight fair. None of that deceit, none of all that mess. If you're going to fight them, you got to fight fair. So he destroyed all the works and all that other stuff so that we had a better shot at defeating the devil ourselves. John 3:17.
That the world through him might be saved.
Now, I know we preach it this way, but it's not quite what the Bible says. We preach that Jesus saved the world, and he did, but the scripture actually says it's so that the world might be saved. He made salvation accessible, but you don't have to be saved if you don't want to. If Jesus would have just done the way we wanted him to do, then we would not be humans, we would be robots. I'm going to come and I'm going to make you love me. I'm going to come and I'm going to make you love me. He always wanted somebody who would choose to serve him. And the devil was getting in the way, messing up. So he came and straightened the devil out and said, now, listen, I'm offering you salvation, but you can take it or leave it. I love you, but I'm not going to force you in anything. Now, let me take a side note. I won't stay on this long, but some of your relationships would be a lot better if you stop trying to force people to love you that don't want nothing to do with you. They've proven to you they don't like you with their actions. Been like, oh, well, he had a bad childhood. Bump his bad childhood. He don't want you. Stop trying to force people to love you who don't want you. And what God says, I'm going to come. I'm going to fix everything. But I don't want robots. I want people to choose me from their heart. All right, go to the next one.
Seek and to save that which was lost.
One scripture says that he was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was to seek and to save that which was lost. Read the next one.
Take away sins, and in him there is no sin.
I told you last week how the sin caused us to be pulled, enticed, and tempted. That's the devil not fighting fair. That's the devil throwing sin on us. So he came to take away the sin. So now no longer is sin the problem. And I preach it to you all the time. If you have sin in your life, that's not the problem because God can wash it. So in other words, the only way you do not walk with God is because you simply flat out reject him. He says, I know sin is unfair because Paul said sometimes sin traps you up and sin is inside you and you don't even know it's inside you. And Paul said you didn't even know it was wrong until you read in the Bible that it was wrong. In other words, you read the law and the law told you it was wrong, but you've been doing it forever. Now you're caught in the middle. And so Jesus said, I'm going to fix all that because I don't want sin but be the reason why you stay out of heaven. Now, I know that don't sound like preaching you may have heard all your life, but sin will not keep you out of heaven. Rejecting Jesus will. Because he's already paid the price for sin. And so now sin has consequences. And sin may drag you through hell on earth, but you still have access to heaven because all you have to do is repent of your sins. He came to take away sins, but he didn't come to force you into a life of him.
That wasn't his purpose. His purpose was to fix things. I'm going to give you another analogy later that hopefully will help you even more. What's the next one we got? Matthew 20:28.
Give his life as a ransom for many.
What he really came to do was switch places with us. Adam's sin, and from Adam, all kinds of sin was happening. So he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to come, and I'm going to switch places with sinful man. I'm going to take all of man's sin, and guess what? Sin has to be punished. It has to be punished, because God is too holy to let sin go unpunished. So what they did, they put all the sin on Jesus. Past, present, and future sins, put it all on Jesus, and God punished it once and for all on the cross. So he switched places. Every sin that you've ever done or will do, God says, I'm going to pay the price for your sin. I'm going to put my son on the cross and put all the judgment and wrath on him. That's why he came. He didn't come to fix the devil, fix the evil. He didn't come. That's our job. He came to get rid of the sin so we have a free right to punch the devil in his face all by ourselves. Does that make sense? All right. Now we're going to ask the question again. Why did Jesus leave? Here's another reason. The earth was never his job. The earth wasn't Jesus' job. He created. Let me give you another quick example. General Motors, they create cars. They got Chevy, GMC, Cadillac, Buick. They create those. They manufacture them. But when you pull them off the lot, call corporate GM and say, I need my oil changed. And they're going to tell you where to go to get your oil changed. It was their job to manufacture it, but it's not their job to upkeep it. It was their job to build it, make it available to you, but it's not their job to put gas in your car. Call General Motors at the gas station and say, I'm waiting for you to come and pump my gas. You know what you're going to hear? They're going to hang up on you. Because that never was their job. And guess what? Jesus and God created the earth, but for us to expect him to maintain and upkeep the earth, that never was his job. His job was created. Okay, well, whose job was it? Let's go to the next one. The next verse that we have, it's Psalms 115:16 says what?
The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man.
Heaven are the Lord's heaven. Brother Donald, do me a favor. Just come over here and stand right over there. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth is given to the children of men. This mic is the heavens. I'm keeping the mic. This water is the earth. Now I'm going to give the water to Donald. Thank you. There you go. You got the water. Now if the water spills, is it my fault anymore? Because I gave the water to who? Whatever happens with the water is no longer my fault. It's got to be his fault because I gave the water to him. Now come back up here. Now I can say, hey, please don't spill the water, because if you spill the water, it won't be good for you. Please don't put any dirt in the water, because if you put dirt in the water, it won't be good for you. All right, bye. Now I can suggest to him what to do, but if he spills the water and he puts dirt in the water, why would you blame me? Because I gave the water to him. When people ask you, I can never serve a God that would let little babies die. You got to tell them the truth. God is, he's looking at us and saying, why are you letting the babies die? Because I gave the earth to you. Every currency that we have in the world, it used to be based off of the minerals that were already in the earth. There is no reason for anybody to be poor. There's no reason for anybody to be hungry. But foolish man has fouled things up, and we blaming God, but God is blaming us because he's saying, I gave the earth to you. Now, if I wasn't really good and excellent with my words, I would say something else. But I'm just going to say it this way. I gave the earth to you ninjas. I gave it
to y'all. I gave it to y'all. Now, some of you older saints would understand. I handed the car down to you, but when it got down to the last child, you done messed up the car. I gave you the house I worked over. Now the yard is jacked up. What did you do with what I worked so hard to give you? If you don't believe me, let's go all the way back to the beginning. Genesis 1:28. Put that up there.
God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it.
Stop right there. Be fruitful, increase, fill the earth. That makes sense. But then it says subdue. Wait a second. If Adam and Eve and everything was perfect and there was no sin, what were they called to subdue? Well, in the beginning, Satan fell to the earth in the beginning. And so what God said, I'm not going to pull him from the earth because he's not on my level. So I'm going to create a man and give man the authority. And I'm going to tell man, it's your job to subdue everything that's on the earth. Read some more.
Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.
Now, it didn't say over every living human. It said over every living creature. At the time, the devil was a creature, and all Adam had to do was subdue and take dominion over him. But he got deceived. He got deceived because of that woman. Woo, sometimes that good-looking woman can lead you in the wrong direction. But it was so interesting. When that did happen, God never said anything to the woman. He spoke to the man. Let me jump on you men for just a second. When God places you in authority, you can't blame your wife for everything that happens in your life. You better stand and be the man, the protector, the provider, and be the spiritual covering. It's your job to subdue and dominate. It's your job. It's not God's job. It's your job. Guess what? We got all kinds of galaxies in the universe. God got to deal with Jupiter and Mars and Saturn and the Milky Way. He only gave us one thing to take over was the earth. Look at your neighbor and say, you only had one job. You had one job, and you only had one job. Sometimes my wife will tell me that. My wife will cook a good dinner. And on the way from church, she'll text me and say, bring home something to drink. And I come home and I'm hugging on her, and she say, where's the drink? I'd be like, oh, she's like, you only had one job, Andre. And what? I done all this stuff, and all you had to do was bring home something to drink. You know what sometimes she does? Now, she's so sweet to me. Sometimes, since she's sweet to me, this is what she does. Now, she's irritated and frustrated with me. So sometimes what she does, she says, you know what? I'll go get it myself. You just come and wash your kids. I'll go do what you should have done. So when Jesus came to the earth, he was being like them and saying, listen, Adam, you only had one job, but I'm going to come and I'm going to fix it, but I'm going to leave because it's not my job. It's your job. Why did he leave? Because it never was his job. Let me give you another quick example. He left for another reason, because he was the reset button. I talked about this before, but I'll say it again. In the computer world, a lot of times when they manufacture new technological devices, they have what they call a factory reset. So if at any point you mess something up, you can always find the factory reset, and it'll blank and wipe everything out so you can start over. But it's only to reset. They don't come. Microsoft don't come and take your computer back and say, every time you have a problem, come to my house. I'm Bill Gates, and I'm going to work your problem out. No, I gave you the computer. If you have some issues, I built in it just in case you would have some issues. I didn't build it for you to have issues, but if you do have issues, there's a reset button. That's why the Bible says Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God says, before I ever create the world, just in case they mess up, because I've already watched somebody dumb as the devil to try to take over. So I know sometimes what I create turns out dumb. God already knew that. So he said, you know what I'm going to do? Before I ever create the world, is there somebody willing to die for the world just in case the world mess up? And there was Jesus saying, if you need somebody, I'm your man. I'll be the factory reset. And so when the world was created, when Adam messed up, Jesus was the reset button. So he came. He reset. Now, it took him a long time to reset because the way the system works is you have to have a body to operate legally on the earth. That's why you see there's demons all in the land. But why do you think demons try to possess people? Because demons are unlimited unless they can find a body. And Jesus knew that I am the reset button, but it's going to take me to coming down through 42 generations. And I'm going to be born of a virgin. And they're going to put me in a manger and wrap me in swaddling clothes. But there's going to be a star in the sky to let folk know I am the reset button. I'm coming to change this thing, to wipe it all off, to set reset. But guess what I'm doing after that? I'm going back where I came from. It was a reset button. All right, let's read Genesis 3:14.
So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life.
The moment that Satan messed up and fouled things up, through the serpent, God was handing out punches. He talked to the man, he talked to the woman, and he talked to the serpent. And whenever God talks to a natural being, he's always talking to the spirit behind it. When I'm preaching and it steps on your toes, God is not mad at you. He's mad at the spirit that's trying to control you. We all have times in our life where we're not acting the way we should be. It's something controlling us. It's something making us do what we don't want to do. Have you ever, I know all y'all saved and y'all perfect, but let me talk about me. I've had some sins in my life that I promise I'm not going to do. I promise. When I used to tell you about the pornography, the magazine would be over there. I throw the magazine in the trash. Oh, no. 35 minutes later, I'm just going to pick the magazine up. I'll give it to somebody. I just don't want to throw it away. 55 minutes later, I'm looking at the magazine. But I said I wasn't going to do it. But sin had a hold on me. And God says, I understand that. So what I'm going to do, I'm not just going to deal with you, Andre. I'm going to love you, but I'm going to deal with that spirit that's trying to control you. And that's why you got to love Deliverance Temple, because we don't get mad at you. We get mad at the spirit that's trying to rob your life. And I declare under the name of God that you will be delivered. You will be set free. You will come out of what you're in, because that's what Jesus came to do. Don't always happen overnight. Now, the more advanced my technological devices are, the longer it takes to reset. My iPad, when I reset it, sometimes it takes hours for it to come back on. You got some sin in your life and you think that you're failing God, but God's saying, I done hit reset a long time ago. I'm just waiting for it to process. So when my baby girl used to start using my devices, she would get mad. She'd say, Daddy, it keeps woading. She meant loading, but it keeps woading. In other words, I can't see what it's going to be because it's loading. Well, your deliverance, it ain't there yet. It's still loading. But one day you're going to move in, be what God called you to be, because God has already hit the reset button. Let's give you some more examples. Genesis 3:15.
And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.
God talked to the serpent, but he was talking to the spirit called the devil, that old slew-footed devil. If there is possibility for you to cuss anybody out, one time I say, God, just let me cuss the devil out one good time. If you can talk bad about anybody, let it be the devil. But God spoke to the spirit of the devil and said, listen, I'm going to put an enemy between you and the woman. And I love the way God did it. God's so smooth. Yeah, you use the woman to mess up, but I'm going to use the woman to reset the whole system. He didn't need a woman. He could have just dropped Jesus out of the sky full grown. But he said, if you're going to trick the woman, I'm going to put the seed in the woman. I'm going to let the woman birth the promised land, because I know whatever you do, I can reset whatever you do. So thank God for a woman. Thank God for a woman. So he said, I'm going to put enmity in between you. Then he says this. He said, that seed is going to crush your head. Now, this is what I got to explain to you. In spiritual terms, head doesn't always mean natural head. Head normally means authority. So when he was the reset button, he was there to crush the authority of Satan. So the Bible says he is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't say he is a lion. Basically what he is, he's a lion that ain't got no teeth. God done pulled his teeth out. So the only thing he can do is scare you, because he doesn't have any authority over you, because he's already crushed his head. But then I got a question. I got one more question. I'm sorry. I wish we could go home off of that. We should have went home after he is finished. We should went home after the reset button. And I'm not just trying to keep you, but I got some more questions. You crush his head, but read what the bottom of it says. He will crush your head, and what does it say after that? Go back to Genesis 3:15. Read it. Come on.
And he will crush your head, and you will strike his head.
He told the spirit that Jesus is going to crush your head, but Dan said, but the spirit was going to still get it at your heel. Man, this don't seem right. If you crush the head, it should be over. So I got another question. Why did Jesus leave? And here's the answer. Because Satan serves a purpose on earth. The reason why he isn't totally, totally crushed and he still gets to nip at your heel is because Satan serves a purpose. Old slew-footed, the one I said that you wish you could cuss out, he actually serves a purpose. Let's read again. We're going to go to the next thing. It's the same verse, but we're going to read it again and just read it in its entirety, and I'm going to put it together.
And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.
You're still going to nip at his heel. Let's go to the next two scriptures. It's Psalms 119:71 says this.
It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees.
David gives us a clue. He said, it was good for me to be afflicted because that's when I learned righteousness. The King James said, I learned righteousness. So the reason why Satan still is able to nip at your heel is because human nature is, if everything is good, we don't need God. I know some women that I done counseled through, and they crying. I just want somebody to love me. I just need a man. Baby, I'm going to pray for you. The moment they get a man, the moment they get a boyfriend, you don't see them at church no more, because they no longer under pressure. You know, you don't pray as hard when you got money in the bank account. And every bill that come through, you can pay it quick. You don't pray that hard. You don't come to church when all of your family's members are living. They all 105. It's when you have to go through life and your heel gets nipped. That's when you realize, I need God. It's something about us. The better things are, the more we pull away from God. But God has a way of allowing the storms of life to humble you to where you want nobody but God. God, I don't care if Hillary gets in or Trump gets in. I need you, Jesus. I don't care what they do with the Muncie Community Schools. God, I need you because there's a devil nipping at my heel. And the reason why Jesus left him here is so that we realize how much we need God. I remember, I would preach hard when I only had 2 suits. I got about 26 of them now. I can take it off a little bit. But God always does something to stretch my faith. He always puts me in a storm. He always puts me in a tight. He always backs me up against a wall. So I have to trust in God. The problem with us is the better things are, the less we trust in God, the more we trust in us.
Well, you know I have a PhD. And the reason why I live in Deerbrook is because I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. Praise the Lord.
We can get prideful if we don't have something nipping at our heel. The reason why I still do what I do, because any day I can backslide, any day I can fall, and I'm trying my best to make it. Satan serves a purpose. Now this next scripture that's up here, read that next one. This is just...
Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered.
This is so... When I read this scripture, I was like, wow. Even though Jesus was God's son, he only learned obedience through what he went through. If the Son of God, who was the reset button, if he had to learn obedience by going through some tough places, guess what? You do too. I don't know if any of y'all been like me, but sometimes you get in a complaint session with God. You call it prayer, but really you're complaining. God, this church over here got that. This church over here got that. This church over here got that. If I had what that church had, maybe I would get the big head. So God said, I'm going to keep you where you're at until you're humble enough for me to bless you. If you will humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, in due time, I will exalt you. God, I want to be married. But you, God, know you won't submit to nothing yet. Won't submit to your pastor, won't submit to the boss. You fuss at the police, you fuss at the birds and the dogs. So he got to wait till you get in a situation that drags you to the ground. And then when you come up, you're the best wife ever because you've been through hell and high water. Sometimes the best woman is somebody who had a fairy tale wedding and got divorced and was single for a while, and out of nowhere, here comes a man like Jed Clampett up out of the ground. Here comes a man that pulls you up. You're so happy. You'll bring him biscuits. You'll bring him anything because you're so happy. I got to get off of this, but sometimes the worst woman is a saved virgin. Because she ain't never had a bad man. She ain't never had nobody to do her wrong. So she don't know what it's like when a man wakes up and showers and puts a heart in the shower on the mirror just to say, I love you. But when she comes up, why this fool writing in the mirror? Girl, somebody would cry for what you got. You don't know how good you have it until something is nipping at your heels. That's why Muncie is going through hell. We lost jobs, and now we got to declare Muncie one Muncie, because if we don't come together, we're going to mess the whole thing up. But God wants us to know, you better pull together to go where I want you to go. And then when I bless you, you don't take the credit. You say, this is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. Why do I give my father so much credit? Because now that I'm pastoring, he looks a whole lot smarter than he used to do when I was just sitting in the pews. I always respected him, but I wonder why he did that. But when you get the job, you understand. Sometimes you need something nipping at your heels. All right, let me put this up. put this up. Satan works for God. He just don't know it. Satan is on the payroll. He just don't know it. Give me an example. Next week, we're doing a master class on depression. Back in the day, you would never talk about depression in the church. But so many people are depressed, we have to address it. So when Satan stirs up depression, guess what it does? It gives me something to do. It gives me something to preach about. When they started shooting earlier this year, now the mayor wants to talk to me. The mayor didn't have a reason to talk to me, but because Satan is acting up, Satan works for my God. He just too dumb to know it. And guess what? When you pray for your children, they think they're out having a good time, but Satan is working for God. And so, see, and this is how Satan is. Satan will lure you to be on his team, but then when you get on his team, he'll beat the mess out of you because Satan is foolish. But when you are a saved child of God and your parents and grandparents praying for you and you try to go out in the world, don't nothing work right for you. I was in college and cussing, and somebody told me, you don't even cuss right. I was in a party in Richmond, Indiana. I was in a party, and it was I was the only black person in the party. Then all of a sudden, some black people came to the party, and of all the people, it was some black Muncie folk. I would tell you his name, but I ain't going to tell you. One of them came to me and said, ain't you the preacher's son? Good God Almighty. Satan drove me to the party, but Satan works for God and don't even know it. I couldn't even live the life I wanted to live because God knows just what he's doing. All right. Why did Jesus leave? All right. Put it up. He was the reset button, but not the antivirus. Let me take a little more time to work this. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's only 12:39. Let me take a little more time to work this. He's definitely the reset button. So in the computer analogy, especially when you get on the internet, You can reset the thing, but when you get on the internet, there are viruses out there. So you could be in Muncie, Indiana, and you could be surfing the internet, and there could be a virus from Germany, and it will come and infect your computer. So what you have to do is you have to buy, separate from the factory reset, you have to buy antivirus. It's something that stays with the computer. Now, Microsoft ain't going to come and do it for you. They're going to open up your computer every day. But you can buy something that'll be there every single day, and it's called antivirus. And so everything that tries to come in to get it, it blocks it. You ever heard somebody say, God blocked it? Jesus was the reset button, but he was not the antivirus. In other words, he wasn't going to stay here every single day and stay here and just work it. And the reason why is because he had a physical body. And since he had a physical body, he had to give up his omnipresence. Omnipresence means you can be everywhere at the same time. But when he got in a body, he couldn't be everywhere at the same time. So if Jesus stayed, we'd all be handicapped because the only way we'd be protected, we would all have to get to Jesus. Jesus was in Israel. Israel can't hold all of us. Israel's only the size of New Jersey. It's amazing that they are as important as they are. They're only the size of New Jersey. All America couldn't even fit in Israel. So Jesus could not stay here because he was in a natural body. He was the reset, but he wasn't the antivirus. Okay, so God, well, where does that leave us now? Jesus, you're gone. We kind of by ourselves. Oh, no. That's why the scripture is important. Before Jesus died, he said this. Read John 16:7.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away.
Wait a second. Why did he leave? Because it's better for you that I go. He said this before he died. If you look in the King James Version, this verse is in red. It means Jesus said it, and he said, it's better for you I go. Read some more.
For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you.
I'm the reset button, and I can't stay. But when I go, I'm going to send you the antivirus. I'm going to send you the helper. I'm going to send you somebody that doesn't have to be in a body so he can be everywhere at the same time. While the Holy Spirit is making me preach, the Holy Spirit is helping Will listen. While the Holy Spirit is making me preach, the Holy Spirit is helping Ren's video because he can be everywhere at the same time. And that's why the Bible calls him the helper. Like the one apostle said, you're helping good, pastor, you're helping good. It's the helper that comes and somebody said, and he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own because he's the helper. I got to go so I can send you the Holy Ghost. And when Jesus came in the body, the other problem with that, he was a visible person. So it was easy for them to put him on the cross. Now, they didn't know he wanted to go to the cross, but it was easy for them to attack him because he was a physical person. But when Jesus sent the helper, see, when I put antivirus on my computer, I don't see it. I just know it works. And the devil don't even know where the spirit is. All he knows is the moment I tried to get you, something blocked me and something stopped me. He told God about Job, I want to get at Job, but you got a hedge around him. The Holy Ghost is your helper. Why did Jesus leave? So he can send the antivirus. Let's read some more. Woo! I'm helping good. I'm helping good. 6:14. 16.
He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what we will make known to you.
Oh, this is beautiful. See, I love how God works, the triune God, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. They work together. And what Jesus said, the reason why I can go, because I can trust the Holy Spirit, because what he's going to do, he's going to glorify me. The problem with humans is sometimes you put somebody in your place and they'll dog you and tear you down. That's what happens to some churches. Now, it don't happen here. Hope God, praise the God, cross myself, knock on wood. Let me find. It don't happen here. But sometimes when you promote a minister, they spend all their time attacking the minister that promoted them so they can divide a church and start their own church. But Jesus said, I know the Holy Spirit ain't going to do that. So I'm going to leave and I'm going to send him. But even though he's the antivirus, I'm the reset button and God is the manufacturer. The Holy Spirit will still glorify me. And that he will receive what? He will make it known to you. So whatever the Spirit gets, he gets it from Jesus. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I get it from the Father. So it comes from the Father, it goes to the Son, it goes to the Holy Spirit, and then it comes all the way down to you. All right, we got one more verse to read. I ain't gonna preach this part, but I could if I wanted to. But one more verse to read. The reason why he had to leave is because of this. Read Acts 1:8.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you.
Here, right now, I'm in the work, the earth, and I'm doing all the work for you. But I got to go so I can send the antivirus. But when the Holy Spirit comes, you shall receive power when he comes on you. And guess what? Not just power one day, but every day he comes on you, you get power. You get power on Monday and power on Tuesday, power in January, power in March, power in springtime, power in summer. When the Holy Ghost comes and he gets on you, you got some power. I need power. So guess what? Jesus, I love you, but you got to leave so I can get the power. And why do I need the power? Because the earth is my job. I gave you that water bottle. Now it would be even better if I put a seal on the water bottle. So even when you tried to spill it, you can't spill it. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will seal you to the day of redemption. When you want to sin, when you want to act a fool, when you want to leave your wife, when you want to leave the church, the Holy Spirit seals you and puts you right back in line. You got some power. Yeah. Power. The old folks would say power to make you walk right. Power to make you talk right. Power to make you live right. I got some power. The reason why I'm saved, I got some power. I got the power. That's why he had to leave. So I could get some power. Some show enough power and authority. All right, we're getting ready to get out of here. I got one more thing. Let's say this again. Say, why did Jesus leave? All right, this is what we're going to end with. He left so that we would get credit for winning the earth. See, God is so good. He sends the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is invisible. So when you do something right and the Holy Spirit is the one who told you to do it, guess who gets the credit? You get the credit. Now, you don't even try to take the credit, but you get the credit. If you lay hands on somebody and they get healed, you can tell them, praise God, but they still look at you and say, you're the one that healed me, because God wants you to get the credit for winning the earth. Adam got the blame. Actually, Adam got the blame and he turned around and blamed the woman. But God wants to give us credit for winning the earth, and we ain't worth a dime, but he gonna give us credit, give us power and credit. I like broke folk call it credit with a K, credit. Got that good. I can't afford to go to the mall, but I got that credit. We got the credit. Charge it to the blood, charge it to the Lamb, charge it to heaven. Credit. Get the credit. Let me say it this way. Romans 8:37. Read that.
No, in all these things, yes, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
We ain't worth a dime, but in the end, we get to become more than conquerors. But here's the caveat. Through him who loved us. I am what I am because God loves me. I am where I am because of the grace of God. I do what I do because of the mercy of God, the love of Jesus Christ. I get the credit, but when I go home, I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good to me. You're so kind to me. I can't believe you love somebody like me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else can help,
lifted me.
I'm more than a conqueror. I get the credit, but it's because somebody loved me and paid the price and was so smooth, he got out of town and sent me the credit card so I can run things all by myself. I'm gonna read this myself, and then we're going to get out of here. The next one says this, and so that he would get credit for loving us to victory. We get credit for winning the earth, and he gets credit for giving us the love that helps us win the earth. So how can I say that? Let me say it this way. I'm going to read this part myself. Romans 8:38 says it this way. It says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Do what you want to do, devil. It won't separate me from the master's love. That's why I tell you, if you fall in sin, it won't separate you from the master's love. Get up. Come back to church. Let us wash you off, because nothing can separate you from the love of God. And if you blow it real, real, real good, you still got a reset button. That'll come and reset. Because the Bible says that he was the Word made flesh. So every time you hear the word, you're actually getting reset. Your mind is getting renewed. Your mind is getting restored. That's why me and the bishop say, don't worry about what you're doing. Just keep coming to the house of God, because we're going to change the way you think. And if we change the way you think, we change the way you act. If we change the way you act, we change what you do, because nothing can separate us from the love of God. I promise I'm closing. I promise. Last thing, this is why he left. Oh, but he's coming back again. For a church without spot or wrinkle, a church that got their foot on the devil's neck, a church where child abuse is not running rampant in the land, he's coming back again for a victorious church. And guess what, Deliverance Temple? We're going to be in the number. Let's stand to our feet. I'm glad you left, God. Now that I know, I'm glad you left. If I could say it this way, as the final thing I'm saying, back in the day when I would watch wrestling, back in the day when I thought wrestling was real, I just threw that out there for one of my friends, but they would have tag team. And when one person would be getting beat up bad, all they got to do was make it to the corner and tag somebody in. The other person would win, but they both would get the victory. Jesus is our tag partner. And honestly, sometimes we get beat up bad in the ring, but all you got to do is make it to tag. But guess what? He's so smooth. You ain't got to make it to tag. All you got to do is say his name, Jesus. And he wins the victory. And we all get the credit. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me this series to preach to our people. Who was Jesus? He was the Son of God. What did Jesus do? He paid it all and he conquered the grave. Why did he leave? Ultimately, it's so that we and him could share in the victory. And for that, God, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And let everybody say, amen. Amen. I'm going to do something different today. I'm only going to ask right now, anybody who wants to join this church, you've been coming for a while, you've been visiting, but you're saying something about this place, I won't stick around. If you want to come down, please come and make your way down here, and we will celebrate with you. We're not the only church, but we want a church. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just come on down front. Let me just stand a little close to me. I'm not going to come down. Just stand right here. Just turn around. I just want to put my arms on you. Because we all in this thing together. So we thank you. Just real quick, tell them your name.
Kim Phelps.
Say it again.
Kimberly Phelps.
Kimberly. So we thank God for Kimberly being a part of Deliverance Temple. Thank God. Hey, baby. Now, let's bow our heads one time. We're going to pray for her. We're also going to pray a prayer, general prayer of salvation. We will be dismissed. You prayer warriors, come up and pray with whoever else needs prayer. And today, I'm going to stay up and pray too. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word, but we thank you for Kimberly. And she's been coming for many Sundays, but she says this is the day she wants to officially be a part of us, God. We're so thank you for growing this ministry and giving us these wonderful people. Thank you for Kimberly. And today, Kimberly has the victory. And God, we will rally around her. Let the women get close to her, God. Don't ever let her have to fall and be by herself in Jesus' name. Now, God, if there's anybody here that don't know you like we know you, God, let them declare right now where they sit and where they stand. Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life so I can have the victory, because I sure enough need a reset and I sure enough need some antivirus in Jesus' name. And let the people say, amen. God bless you. I love you.